The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
Morning, all. Everybody doing well? Isn't it fun to hear about what the Lord is doing in Africa, Punjala, having the privilege to have Mike and Norm and Yahweh come today and just share in that ministry. What a blessing. Open up to Mark chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 13. And while you're opening there, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Father, we thank you for the pearls that you have for us today, God. We thank you for your truth and that your truth sets us free, God. And Father, as you reminded us last week, Lord, you do not relent in giving us as your people grace. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray that all of us are reflecting on that, Lord, and reflecting, Lord, on the fact that we've seen your hand in our life. We thank you for that. We trust you in that. We pray that your spirit fall on us, God. And we pray that you speak to us today in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our parallel passage, if you're taking notes, only one other gospel contains this. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And our point of emphasis is very short today, so I think I only have to say it one time. Ready? The Lord looks at my heart. The Lord looks at my heart. That's where we're going today. And David's words in Psalm 139:1 remind of this. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Okay, let's go ahead and read our text. I was originally going to go through Mark chapter 7, 1 through 23, but we're going to stick through verses 1 through 13 this morning. Okay, so we'll read that together, and I'm reading from the ESV, depending upon what translation you have, and this is what it says. Verse 1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. Verse 5. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles their father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." So as we begin and look at chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, we see that our favorite hall monitors are back on the scene. We have the Pharisees and the scribes here. And once again, they're there to watch Jesus' disapproval. They're plotting, they're scheming, they're planning against what he's doing. And the last time we saw the Pharisees and scribes and Jesus, we heard Jesus say these words, "Stretch out your hand." And the scripture says that he looks around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And man, did this eat at the religious leaders. And we see how much in verse 6 of chapter 3, the Pharisees went and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him. And watch this, how to destroy him. So from this point on, they ramped up that plan. They ramped up their plan against Jesus. So with the religious leaders, with the Pharisees, with the scribes out of the picture, we've seen Jesus' ministry, his popularity grow. And in that, many people come to the Lord. They come to get their needs met. They come for healing. They come to hear him teach. And why this is true, that masses of people have flocked to Jesus. And they have. We've observed that in this gospel. The truth is that his teachings were getting too hard. And we read in John chapter 6, verse 66, that many of those who started out as his disciples, many of those that decided to follow him, turned their back on Jesus. His teaching is too hard. And remember what they wanted out of Jesus. They were looking for that political Messiah. They were looking for someone to free them from tyranny, from the tyranny of Rome. And so many of his disciples rejected him. And of course, we also see this in the heart of Judas. Judas came to Jesus to get what he wanted, and it didn't work out. So he rejects him and ultimately betrays him. So in our passage, it's fair to say that the Pharisees and scribes have come a long way. They've probably come at least 100 miles. And they're determined to destroy Jesus. They ultimately want him dead. But on this particular day, they've come to blow the whistle on his ministry. So here's what happens. They're there to nitpick. Matthew 23:24, Jesus describes what they do best. I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. "You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." So in this particular situation, here's what they're calling out Jesus and his disciples for. It was all about the custom of hand washing. And just like previous attacks, and we have to keep this in mind, previous attacks on Jesus were not based on the scriptures, but their interpretation of the scriptures, their tradition. And so particularly we see where this interpretation of scripture came from. We can look at Exodus 30, 19. We can look at Exodus 40, verse 12. But let's go ahead and read Exodus 40, verse 12. And this is what it says. "Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water." So this is the scripture that they used. And this practice had its origin from God's command for the priests to wash their hands and their feet before they entered his presence, before they entered the tent of meeting. And what was the purpose? To remind them of God's character, to remind them of his holiness, to remind them that when they come to God, they are called to approach him with clean hearts. That was the purpose. So this is about having a posture of worship before their God. That's why he commanded Israel, "Remember who I am. Remember how I rescued you." And that's where he's coming from. So John Mark has painted an accurate picture through Peter's eyewitness account of these men. They focus on the outward act, right? But as far as the clean heart, that didn't matter then. The clean heart didn't matter. So again, our point of emphasis, what we need to be reminded, the Lord looks at my heart. We got to keep that in mind this morning. All right, so blue letter. And for those of you that are visiting today, when we say blue letter, here's the question we're asking. How do I apply this passage? What would God have me take out of his word? So quick observation for all of us. When you and I, and we do, and we have to be honest about that, when you and I focus, when our focus is on the outward and not the heart, not a heart of worship, we compare ourselves to other men. We compare ourselves to others. And this is rooted in a heart of self-righteousness. I'm doing this. Why aren't they? I can't believe that they're doing that. How is it that they could be doing this? And instead of being kind to others, instead of faith expressing itself through love, we become mean-spirited. Instead of walking in patience, there's an attitude of intolerance. And instead of speaking the truth in love, we put this yoke on people. The do's and the don'ts. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm not supposed to do. And then we find others that are not doing as good as we believe we're doing in our own hearts. And see, that's the self-righteous game. And then we call them out. And here's what this is a recipe for. This is a recipe for ruining, pointing all things to Christ. Lifting up who the Lord is in my life. Paul speaks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. This is what he says. Now that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. Now watch this. But when they measure themselves and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. The scriptures would say to us, if the word of God is silent, there's freedom in Christ. But an important question to ask with that freedom is this. Does this honor my Lord? And does this build up my brothers and sisters? 1 Corinthians 10, 23, 24 applies this to you and I. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. So back to these washings. I hope I get this right, Margie and Mark, and if I don't, then let me know. But I think of these washings as like scrubbing in. Okay? So I understand it went like this. They would start out with their hand out like this, with their fingers pointing this way, and they would pour water. And then they would turn their hand over, and they would pour water again. And then they would take the fist of their opposite hand and they would scrub, okay, before each one. Is that right? Am I getting that close? Okay, just making sure. All right, call me out afterwards if it's not true, okay? All right, and this wasn't about hygiene. This wasn't about cleanliness, although it was important. It was about ritual purity. And in their minds, those who did not wash were considered defiled, were considered unclean. And here's what was going on in their minds. See, there could have been a possibility by passing through towns, by being in the marketplace, that they could have rubbed shoulders with Gentiles. They could have rubbed shoulders with those that weren't of the Jewish belief. And so, again, what we have to see here, this is not based on the law. This is based on the interpretation, their interpretation of the law. In the Talmud, and the mission. Okay? So, I don't know if you remember, this was a while back, probably 4 months ago, but we looked at how the Pharisees and scribes came up with what they could do and not do on the Sabbath. Remember all the different things that they considered work? And I'm not going to go through that, but we looked at that pretty extensively. Okay, but it was based on their interpretation of the law. Now let's refresh our memory and read verses 6 through 9 again. All right, this is where Jesus responds. And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." So no doubt these leaders who consider themselves the shepherds of the day, rightfully so, they knew the Old Testament law. They knew it backwards. They knew it forwards. They would walk around and recite it to the people. And I picture them with their robes and their heads held high and their chest stuck out. And they knew every ritual. They knew every tradition, every ceremony, every sacrifice, every feast. And as I thought about this passage, notice what Jesus doesn't say. "Do you want to know why my disciples don't hold to your traditions?" He doesn't say that. Right? What does he do? But instead, as he often did when he was in the desert for 40 days, as he often did when he faced opposition, what did he do? He went after the heart. And how did he go after the heart? He spoke the truth of God's word. And specifically, he quotes Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And here's the truth for these men. And Jesus is revealing their hearts after years of participating in the rituals and the ceremonies and the traditions and all the observances. Unfortunately, it had become nothing more than going through the motions. This is what Jesus is getting at. Their actions have become tradition-based, and don't miss this, instead of truth-based. Based on interpretation of how they interpreted the law instead of the truth itself. And there's no adoration for God. In fact, there's a false humility and a pride that is more important to them than the glory of God. Their rules and regulations, how they interpret, are primary over obeying God's commandments. Did they talk about love? Yes, they talked about love, but they didn't love. Did they talk about forgiveness? Yes, they talked about forgiveness, but they didn't forgive. Did they talk about shepherding the people? Yes, they talked about shepherding, but guess what they didn't do? They didn't shepherd. They didn't come alongside. They didn't disciple. Right? They didn't come alongside those they were called to oversee. And again, to God, their actions are seen as hypocritical. That's how he sees them.
Isaiah 1, 13 through 17 expresses this well. There's also a similar passage in Amos that we've read before, but let me read this to you. This is what the Lord says to the people. Bring no more offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon Sabbath and calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Once again, we get a picture of what infuriated the Pharisees and the scribes about Jesus. Time and time again throughout the Gospels, he laid them bare, just as he does for us. Remember, because God loves you, he will not relent in giving you grace. And even though many times that's hard, that's good news. So he laid them bare before the men that they were drawing to themselves. To the people, they have it together. But Jesus sees past the facade. In Matthew 23:27, we read these words. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus brings to the light that these men have replaced hearts of worship for empty words. He's pointed out that they've rejected and neglected his truth for man-made laws. So in verse 6 through 9, he uses the scripture and he lays their hearts bare. But in verse 10 through 13, he's going to illustrate the intentions of their hearts. He's going to give them an example. So he points out that they've disregarded the commandment of God. Let's read it together, verses 10 through 13. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down void, and many such things you do. So the commandment of God, honor your mother and your father. Here's what the religious leaders taught the people that they were called to shepherd. They taught them to hide behind the man-made tradition of Corban, which means devoting, as John Mark explained, devoting their belongings to God. And by doing this, they could disobey God's command when it came to their parents. So they created a loophole so the people did not have to care for their family members. And we've got to see the heartless game that they're playing. A son or daughter of a father or mother would declare their money Corban and say, sorry, mom and dad, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do for you. I've given this money to the Lord. I'm sorry you're sick, but this money belongs to the Lord. What's that, mom and dad? You can't take care of yourself? Well, I would help, but I gave this money to the Lord. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? In other words, by this practice, they ignored God's command to take care of their families. And what we learn is that their hypocrisy even gets worse. Because often the gift was pledged to the temple, but you know what happened? Many times it was never given. And through this loophole, they deceived their parents in the name of God. So often it was a facade to look spiritual, while at the same time ignoring the commandment of God. Jesus made sure and revealed this abuse and blatant disregard for his word. So what's our point of emphasis this morning? The Lord looks at my heart. Where would Blue Letter be for me? Thought a lot about this. I want you to think a lot about this and pray about this. But let's read 1 Samuel 16:7. Probably a verse that you're familiar with, okay? But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at the appearance of height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not see as man does, for man sees the outward appearance, but the Lord," what? "The Lord sees the heart." So what's Blue Letter for us? Because very easily we could say, can you believe the Pharisees and the scribes? Can you believe what they did? I can't believe they would do this. But see, here's what we have to understand when we sit under the Word of God. The Word of God is meant to cut us. When we sit under the Word, there's supposed to be spiritual surgery. It's supposed to reveal the intentions of our heart. It's supposed to separate joints from marrow. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. We should expect the Holy Spirit every time we sit under the Word to bring conviction. And when it gets uncomfortable, and it will, we can't ignore it. The worst thing we can do is harden our hearts when it rubs us the wrong way. I can't ignore it. I can't shut it out. Can I be very honest with you? I can't tell you how many times I would sit under the preaching of a pastor. I would listen to a podcast. I would be in a small group. And I can't tell you how many times I heard what was preached and I tuned it out. It's like, I'm done. That's enough for me. I hope the Colts win today. I'm done. I'm going to mow the grass. Nope. I'm done listening to this guy. I was done. I wanted to tune out. But instead, what should I have done? What should you and I have done when the Word of God cuts? When it gets hard? When it reveals our heart? What should we do? We need to confess it to God. Lord, I don't like this. I don't like what you're saying. This is hard for me, God. But I don't want to ignore it. See, I want to respond by faith in what your Word says. But it's making me uncomfortable. That's the right response. See, the right response is to say, I don't want to obey you, Lord. I don't like it. I don't want to do that. I need your grace. You say that you give grace upon grace upon grace. I'm trusting in that, Lord. I'm believing that. Because here's what we have to understand. He already knows. He knows if you're playing games. He knows if I'm playing games. He knows. He knows right now. So ask him in prayer, Lord, change my heart. This makes me uncomfortable. I'm praying that I see your joy. I'm praying that I surrender and that I obey your word. Because right now, I don't like that. And as we touched on last week, he loves you so much, he will not relent in giving you grace upon grace upon grace. That's how much he loves you. So don't forget that. Rick did a great job a few weeks ago as he went through Lamentations. And he expressed to us the importance of confessing our sin. The importance of repenting. the importance of turning back to God. It's a huge key in our walk with the Lord. And when God shows us our sin, we can't rationalize it. We can't make excuses. And we can't ignore His conviction. But we have to call sin what God calls it. This is sin. I'm not believing your word. And I have to confess it to Him again and again and again. And why? Because I don't want to get to a place like the Pharisees and the scribes where I know what's true, but it doesn't have my heart. I confess my sin to keep my heart soft. I remember the gospel daily. Remember what Jesus has done for me. That's the key. What about your prayer life? Man, what about our prayer life? Do we pray because that's what we've always done? Or do I genuinely want to hear from God? Is there a desire to draw near to Him? Here's the truth. At times I'm genuinely seeking my Lord and I'm enjoying Him. I'm asking Him. I'm coming to the throne of grace. And other times, my prayer is nothing more than rote and repetition. I have to be honest about that. God, I confess to you that my heart right now is not in this prayer. It's not in it right now. But I ask you to open my eyes, God, and I ask you to show me who you are. Show me your character. Remind me why I'm coming to your throne. Help me hold fast to prayer. Help me expect you to move, God. Help me when I come to your throne of grace to expect it. Have to be honest about that. There's two things that we celebrate in this church. Praise God for that. There's lots of things we celebrate in this church, but there's two things I want to point out. Let me reword that, okay? By God's grace, we have become a church that gives generously. Praise God for that. We've become a church that loves to serve one another, that loves to help our brothers and sisters. Praise God for that. So first, let's ask the question, is your giving worship? Is the giving of your resources worship? Is the giving of your time worship? Is the giving of what God has given you worship? Are you giving unto the Lord, and do you see yourself as a steward of what your great God has given you? Second, we are serving one another. There's joy in serving our brother and our sister. But when you serve, are you remembering how Jesus sacrificed for you and served you first? Are you responding to the gospel when you serve? Are you taking Jesus with you when you provide the needs of others? Are you saying, Lord, we're going to my neighbor's house together. You and me, we're doing this together. And I'm doing this to please you. I'm doing this to bring glory to you. I'm doing this to display your splendor, to show my brothers and sisters that I love you and I love them. So here's the bottom line. What our text has revealed to us today is the Lord is looking at my heart and the Lord is looking at your heart. Are you and I acknowledging the presence of the King that came to reign in our hearts? Are we taking Jesus with us? Are we talking to Him and praying for those that we are with? What if my heart isn't toward Him and what I'm doing? Because that happens. I confess it. I tell the Lord that. My heart's not in it right now. I need you to change that. But God, here's what I'm doing. I'm stepping out on faith and I'm obeying you. I'm obeying you even though my heart is not in it. But I'm asking you to change me. David was called a man after God's own heart. And why? Read his prayers. Read the Psalms. Because he was honest. Because he was transparent with his God. Because he longed to be in his presence. See, and I pray that we strive to do the same. Will you pray that for each other this week? I challenged you last week. We want to bear one another's burdens. We want to know how we can pray for one another. We want to know what each other are going through. We don't want to be people that go through the motions. So we must be genuine. God calls us to it. We must be transparent. God calls us to it before our God. Because here's what we have to remember. Even if you don't say it, he knows exactly where your heart is. He knows exactly where we are. We have to remember that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through the motions. And this is hard, because sometimes it's just easy to play church. Sometimes it's easy just to say that things are okay. Sometimes it's just easy to be at that point where just say, all right, Lord, this is what I've always done. I've checked the list. Did you see that, God? Was that good enough, God? I checked the box. That's not what we want to become. We want to be honest and genuine and transparent before our God, because our God is looking at our heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, we praise your name for what you're doing, Lord, through Mike, Lord. For what you're doing, Lord, through Yarkwe, Lord. For what you're doing through Norman Linda, Lord. For what you're doing through our brother Yala. And God, we just pray and ask that you continue, Lord, to give them a bold faith. We pray, God, that you would strengthen them, God. We pray, Lord, that you would show them exactly where you've called them, God. And Lord, that in that they would surrender and they would obey. Lord, bless them as they do what they do unto you. And we thank you for that, God. Father, we also know today that there are many people in this room in many different places, God. There are those in here that know you, that walk with you closely, God. And Father, here's what I pray for them. I pray and ask you, God, that they would receive the word that you have for them. They would receive the work of the Spirit, God. They would receive your conviction, God. And I ask you, Lord, that you, Lord, this week would give them the courage, would strengthen them, Lord, to be honest before you. And Lord, where there needs to be confession, where we need to repent, God, that our heart hasn't been for you, Lord, I pray that that starts right now. I pray, Lord, that right now that we repent, God, where we're going through the motions. We repent, God, to the fact that our heart has not been towards you and we walk by faith in that. We ask you, Lord, to give us that grace. God, make us people that are honest before you. We may be messes, God, but we want to be honest before you. We thank you that our identity is in you, Lord. I pray that all of us realize that, that we've been lavished in your grace. And God, there are others in here that maybe do not know you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that right now, if their heart is softened, God, I pray right now, God, if they've heard your word, Lord, and they know that they've heard from you, God, Father, that you would bring them to a place of repentance, that you would bring them to a place of confession, Lord. Help us come alongside them, Lord, and to pray with them and to answer their questions, God. Lord, it is such a privilege to be a part of your church. This is your church. And we trust in what you're doing, God. We pray that you lead and guide us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget how much Jesus loves you and who you are in him. Have a great week in the Lord. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.